This week we discuss Leo Tolstoy, author of War and Peace. Was he a Freemason, or did he just know a lot? Then we'll take a look at an exclusive piece from the Midnight Freemasons published by Brother Darren Lainers. He asks the important question, does Freemasonry develop talent? Why were Grand Lodges everywhere raving about this article? You'll have to listen to find out. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. Here's your host, Brother Robert Johnson.
Welcome back. This is episode number 467. In the news, not a whole lot going on. Just hope that you all took advantage of the open enrollment over at the Great Books program from Brother Scott Hambrick. To know a little bit more about that, head on over to our website, wcypodcast.com, hover over our friends, and click on the Great Books program. I want to thank all of our supporters, our producers, our fellows, our contributors of the WCY podcast. It is because of you that we are able to do this show week after week, month after month, year after year. You know, we only go dark 2 times a year, so just the last 2 weeks of the year, I'll have an episode, 50 episodes a year, essentially. So I'm really hoping that you all love it and that you find value in it. If you would like to find out more about how you can assist this program, head on over to wcypodcast.com, click on Support the Show, and check out your options. You know, we have ways to support via PayPal and Patreon, and they come with the same benefits. So thank you in advance. At the top of this episode, you heard of what we're all about. I want to jump right in. I went over to Reddit recently, r/Freemasonry. Why I did that? I don't know, you guys. I'm just kidding. There's a lot of great dudes on Reddit, and for the most part, a great place to connect. But there was a lengthy post about Leo Tolstoy and Freemasonry and his book War and Peace. I thought at one point, illustrious Brother Creason had written about this, and indeed he had. So because I found it interesting, I thought, yeah, let's take a look at this idea. Leo Tolstoy, Freemason or not? Again, by Midnight Freemason contributor, Brother Todd E. Creason. Leo Tolstoy was born in 1826, and he died before World War I, 1910. But let's check this out. Count Lev Nikolaevich Tolstoy, also known as Leo Tolstoy, was a Russian writer who primarily wrote novels and short stories. His most famous novel, War and Peace, takes place with the backdrop of the French invasion of Russia. Tolstoy is widely considered one of the world's greatest novelists. Without question, Leo Tolstoy was very knowledgeable on the subject of Freemasonry. His descriptions of Masonic ritual in War and Peace were extremely accurate and detailed. In fact, so familiar with the subject of Freemasonry, Tolstoy was able to categorize Freemasons into 4 groups. Upon reading this description, you'll see that Tolstoy was very accurate in that description. And for the most part, his description of these 4 types of Masons remains true today, from War and Peace. Quote, he divided the brothers he knew into 4 categories. In the first, he put those who did not take an active part in the affairs of the lodge or in human affairs, but were exclusively occupied with the mystical science of the order, with questions of the threefold designation of God and the 3 primordial elements, sulfur, mercury, and salt, or the meaning of the square and all the various figures of the Temple of Solomon. Pierre respected this class of brothers, to which the elder ones chiefly belonged, including Pierre, thought Joseph Alexeyevich himself. But he did not share their interests. His heart was not in the mystical aspect of Freemasonry. The 2nd category Pierre reckoned himself, and others like him, seeking and facilitating, who had not yet found in Freemasonry a straight and comprehensible path, but hoped to do so. In the 3rd category, he included those brothers, the majority, who saw nothing in Freemasonry but the external forms and ceremonies and prized the strict performances of these forms without troubling about their purport or significance. Such were Willarski and even the Grand Master of the Principal Lodge. Finally, to the 4th category, also a great many brothers belonged, particularly those who had lately joined, These, according to Pierre's observations, were men who had no belief in anything, nor desire for anything, but joined the Freemasons merely to associate with the wealthy young brothers who were influential through their connections or rank, and whom there were very many in the lodge. End quote. But the question remains, was Leo Tolstoy a Freemason? No, he was not. Although he is incorrectly cited as a Freemason frequently, there is no evidence that Leo Tolstoy was ever a Freemason. However, the fact that so many Freemasons for so long have believed he was, based on his fictional writings, is a true testament to his tremendous skill as a writer. Todd E. Creason, 33rd Degree. So there you had this kind of short little piece here on Leo Tolstoy. You know, I have never read War and Peace. I've always wanted to because there's so much clout about the book. And of course, there are tremendous jokes about the book and being so long. You know, when somebody says, oh, don't worry, you can read this book. It's not War and Peace. It's just like saying it's not brain surgery, right? It's this tremendous volume of work. Maybe one day I'll take it under my work and try to really dig in and read this book. But currently, it is not on my list of things to do. So, of course, this was published on the Midnight Freemasons blog, and as such, there was another piece from the Midnight Freemasons that I wanted to read this week. Why? Well, it's not a piece that I wrote. It's a piece that Brother Darren Lehners wrote, and it got a lot of acclaim throughout the fraternity. I do this really annoying thing of trying to share educational content in almost every Facebook group that I'm a member in. So if you go, darn it, there's that RJ again posting all this garbage, or maybe you're on a Grand Lodge committee who oversees the postings and okays them or not, and you constantly get complaints. That Robert Johnson, he's always dropping all this stuff and clouding up our Grand Lodge feed with articles and podcasts. Well, I apologize. But that's just the nature of what I do, trying to push education by Freemasons to Freemasons. But Darren wrote this great piece that after I had shared it a bunch of times on these Grand Lodge Facebook pages, and after sharing it, there were a ton of comments that were coming through from some prestigious brothers in these Grand Lodge Facebook groups that really were touting how great of an article this was. And so, of course, I sent Brother Lehners on email, and I said, man, this piece really is resonating with people, and great job. Of course, he was very humble about the whole thing, as he is, but I did want to read it for you this week because I really felt this was a pretty stand-up piece. Does Freemasonry develop talent? Freemasonry does very little to no talent development. For an organization that claims to take good men and make them better, that's a pretty damning statement. However, I stand by it. In business, talent development refers to the organizational process designed to attract, develop, motivate, and retain productive, engaged employees. If a business is to succeed, it has to do this and put a lot of effort into doing this. Otherwise, they will see a large turnover of employees. What is Freemasonry doing to attract, develop, motivate, and retain members? In my own personal experience, very little. Is it any wonder we are struggling with getting new members and retaining the ones we have? What is Freemasonry doing to attract members? In business, a value proposition is an innovation, service, or feature intended to make a company or product attractive to customers. For our fraternity, it should show what Freemasonry will do for each man individually, or why a man should choose Freemasonry over another community organization. While we shouldn't be joining Freemasonry for mercenary motives, we should be doing a better job of selling ourselves. Instead of saying we take good men and make them better, our value proposition should be listing what we will do to make you a better man and how it relates to the individual. Until very recently, we relied on campaigns like To Be One, Ask One, and other outdated methods to try to gain membership. In fact, until three Masonic appendant governing bodies, namely the Northern Masonic Jurisdiction and Southern Masonic Jurisdiction of the Ancient and Accepted Scottish Rite, Shriners International, they decided to sponsor BeAFreemason.org. There was very little effort put forth in order to attract membership. My Grand Lodge has an invitation to petition program, but it is not used to its full effectiveness, nor is it really being pushed by them as a program that lodges should be using. Lodges should be using this program to have its members identify their friends, neighbors, and other members of the community that would be active and engaged members. As part of this process, once the invitation is accepted, we should be giving a value proposition for the prospective member. We can no longer rely on our history or reputation as an organization to be an effective recruitment tool. At my last meeting at St. Joseph 970 as Worshipful Master, I had 6 invitation to petition forms submitted and read, which will be voted on at our next stated meeting. Assuming the vote for these members is favorable, it is my plan to write each of the prospective members a letter, along with a value proposition about how I think Freemasonry can benefit them. I also encouraged members to think about men that they know and encouraged them to do the same. St. Joseph has not had a new member in over 2 years. If we do not bring in new and active engaged members, we need to seriously start to consider consolidating with another lodge. We continue to lose members due to having them move away from the area or by having some pass away, and we are not gaining new members to replace that attrition. I doubt that we are the only lodge to experience this problem. What is Freemasonry doing to develop its members? It's my opinion that we're doing very little. Time and time again, education is not given the same importance as other items on the meeting agenda. My girlfriend Lisa, who is the incoming chair for the National Advisors for Chapters and an incoming board member of the Board of Directors for the Association of Talent Development, retweeted this today. Quote, "Learning shouldn't be begging for a place at the table. It should be setting the menu." End quote. Truer words have never been spoken. Masonic education should be the highlight of our stated meetings, not an afterthought. Apparently, the majority of us would rather spend a meeting debating on how many rolls of toilet paper to buy or insert your own trivial matter of business over actually working to improve ourselves. How in the heck does this make us better men? It doesn't. The ugly truth of the matter is that, one, not every man in Freemasonry is a good man. Two, not every man in Freemasonry cares about becoming a better man. Three, there are some men in Freemasonry that have no interest in helping their brethren who are good men become better men, and that is why they don't support Masonic education. We also do a terrible job of identifying skills that our members might be good at and interested in, and in helping them to use and develop those skills to help not only improve themselves, but the lodge or Freemasonry in their area as well. We each have individual skills that we are good at, and other areas we lack skills. One member might be a strong natural leader but not be very good with technology, while another might lack leadership skills but be very good with technology. Doesn't it make sense to pair these people together in order to have them help each other improve their skills? In most lodges where there is a progressive line, wouldn't you want to make sure that the members that will be succeeding them are good leaders? We also fail when it comes to mentoring. In Illinois, we have something called the Intender Program. Under this program, each candidate is assigned an experienced Freemason to help them learn their catechisms and to help them through their degrees. I have seen time and time again where the experienced Freemason stops mentoring the individual who is their candidate once that candidate is raised as a Master Mason. This needs to stop. It seems that we've forgotten our obligations to aid and support our brethren. When was the last time that you offered to help another member of your lodge with their ritual and floor work outside of a meeting, or invited them to a coffee for a discussion, or generally just tried to get to know them? Are you taking an active role in trying to mentor and help develop the talents of your brethren? Yes, there might be times where the other member might be unwilling to accept your help or overtures of friendship. In these cases, make sure you're setting the right example for them to follow. Mentoring another member can be both active and passive. How many of you have a formal or informal degree team in your area? All the members of the quote-unquote team, are the ones called, are always called upon to put on degrees. And it's always the same brothers doing the same parts in the same degrees night after night. This is problematic because the members of the team aren't usually trying to mentor the members that are not on the team. and they are not encouraging them to learn parts or participate in the degrees. The members that want to learn parts and become members of the team often aren't making their desires known to the degree team members. Essentially, a situation is created where you have a small number of people doing work, and because of the perceived clique of team members, other members feel that they are not encouraged to learn and participate, or feel that they don't need to learn or participate because the degree team members have it covered. In my particular district, you have some older members of the team, and when they pass away, there is no one to step up and fill that void. This is just one example of where we are failing to help to develop talent, but also where we have no succession plan in place. What is Freemasonry doing to motivate and retain members? Our wages of corn, wine, and oil don't seem to be bringing members to lodge, nor are they helping us retain our members. There have been multiple times where I've seen an enthusiastic new Master Mason be forced into a chair due to not having enough active and engaged membership, have them not be given proper instruction about what to do, and then have them approached by a grumpy past master after the meeting who tells them what they did wrong. Is it any wonder we continue to raise candidates and never see them return to lodge? I'll also take the opportunity to highlight the times as an area education officer where I've seen educational programs ridiculed because the majority of brethren don't want to take the time to explore our mysteries and symbols. They only seem to care about the stated meeting when they have something to complain about. However, once they've decided that they're done complaining, they want to get the meeting over with. Then they might adjourn to a bar across the street, no doubt to complain about everything they disagreed with in the meeting with their fellow complainers. In business, an employee acting like this would be reprimanded, maybe even terminated, for creating a hostile work environment. However, in Freemasonry, it seems to be the norm. Another major reason for this is that our stated meetings are not run efficiently. In fact, I would argue that the current model of stated meetings is completely and utterly outdated. In my mind, the one thing that the pandemic has proven is that a stated meeting is no longer necessary to handle a majority of the business of the lodge. Almost all of the business can be handled either through the email or via a short Zoom, Skype, WebEx, Google Meet between the members. We need to make a change in the way that we handle business in order to compete for the attention of our members in the current day and age. We are competing with social media, streaming services, sports, our children's and professional, and other organizations like church or school board that our members might belong to. If we want to compete, we need to change the way we handle our business. In changing the way that business is handled, we can free up time during our stated meeting nights that were previously used for business to focus on personal development. You know, actually doing the work of making good men better instead of just saying that we do. We can use the time to implement skill development workshop where we can teach leadership, grooming, public speaking, budgeting, personal finance, listening, and believe it or not, learning how to be more sensitive and empathetic. We can also use the time to improve ourselves in Masonry with Masonic education programs and working on ritual and floor work. Camaraderie needs to be built between the members of the lodge so that they actually enjoy each other's company and want to seek more of it. This can be accomplished by holding festive boards or participating in other activities where the brethren can interact in a social setting outside of the lodge room on stated meeting nights. It seems to be beyond the realm of my comprehension to imagine a time where I could open St. Joseph 970 for a meeting, have a short meeting, 15 to 20 minutes max, close the meeting and then adjourn to a festive board, or have the programs like what I mentioned above. Unfortunately, as long as we continue to have poorly run, long, boring, and sometimes toxic meetings, we will continue to lose members. Not only that, many of us that are providing the energy and manpower to a lodge have become disheartened and unmotivated. I deal with this feeling more than I would like to admit when it comes to Freemasonry. Not only do the above examples show why we are failing to retain members, but also some of the reasons why many of us are becoming unmotivated. Couple this with the ways in which I see brethren mistreat each other within the lodge and on social media, we no longer seem to be practicing the tenet of brotherly love. Unfortunately, the lodge room, which is a place that I consider to be a sacred space, which should be devoid of politics or religion at all times, not just when the gavel has sounded, is no longer sacred to brethren. It seems that many of the brethren have decided that they don't get enough discussion of these divisive topics on social media, and they need to engage in the same rhetoric within a lodge room. Many of us, myself included, are left bewildered by this when we try to speak good counsel to our brethren, and we're told that the gavel hasn't sounded, so they can discuss whatever they want. Apparently, I missed the section in the lectures in my degrees that instructed us only to practice Freemasonry between the gavels. Is it any wonder that many of us are lacking motivation? Or that we cannot retain our new members? How do we change this? Freemasonry is local. Ultimately, you can only impact what is happening at your local lodge. Here are some things that you can do to help change your lodge culture and start to develop talent. 1. You need to have allies. If you're the only one in your lodge that wants to change things, things will not change. You need to have enough brethren on your side to be able to implement change. You need to make sure that all of you have the same vision and goals. Without this, you will not be able to implement programs to help develop the talent of or educate the brethren within your lodge. 2. You and your allies need to act as role models and mentors. Survey your membership and identify where there are mentorship possibilities and connect mentors with mentees. Be sure to set an example for the brethren in your lodge. 3. Build a process to support development. Implement programs to help develop talent, the talents of brethren in your lodge. Prioritize lodge education in the meetings. Reduce the waste of meetings so that there is time for this process. 4. Reinforce our shared values. Remind the brethren why talent development is an important part of taking a good man and making him better. Help the brethren understand why this is important and how it will help not only attract but retain members. Use your allies to implement lodge bylaws to make changes permanent. 5. Be adaptable. Each lodge is unique and has a unique culture. What works for one lodge might not work for another. Keep trying different approaches to development. Don't give up when one thing doesn't work. Note the things that are successful in your programs and the things that are not. Learn from your experiences. The choice is yours. You can either help be the change or slowly watch your lodge die. I know what I'm going to choose. Brother Darren A. Laners. So this piece is heavy on the administrative side of things, and I think Darren hits the nail on the head quite a bit. You know, it's kind of a joke and it's kind of a sore thing to say out loud, but yeah, you know, a stated meeting can be done on Zoom and it's done very fast. And I may have joked one or two times that we should just do this all the time. If it's just business meeting, maybe all the business meetings can be moved to the Zoom and the actual meetings can just be education. Or degrees. No more business. It could be so awesome. Well, that's just my opinion. I hate business meetings. And I think Zoom and the digital space has proved that we can blast through business in 20 minutes. And I, for one, don't care to drive 45 minutes to, do a 20-minute business meeting. There's nothing that's worth that. Nothing at all. Darren hits a few things in his five bullets at the end. In number two, he says, at the last part of number two, he says, be sure to set an example for the brethren in your lodge. This is like a huge, huge issue. We need to lead by example, not only for, you know, being a Mason and being seen by the public, but let's be honest. You need to be a Freemason for the Freemasons that are around you. We don't let in, like Darren has pointed out, not every man who is a Mason is a good man. That hurts to say, but it's the truth. if we are an example, maybe there's a chance that, you know, we can rub off a little bit of what we have going on. If we're a good man, if you're a good man, and maybe somebody's around you who needs a little help in some areas, by seeing how you act, will change the way he acts. This is a big thing in business. There's all these kind of talent acquisition models and things, and one of the largest factors in whether an employee feels they're doing the right thing or not is based on what they have seen upper management do. So in this case, number two, be sure to set an example for the brethren in your lodge, but not just your lodge. Maybe take that example to online as well. Be courteous, kind, understanding, listening to both sides. Ask open-ended questions. Don't be accusatory. These are things that I've just noticed in the last, you know, couple years, really. In number four, at the end, he says, use your allies to implement lodge bylaws to make changes permanent. Oh, this is crazy. And the reason is because you can implement some cool changes your year with your kind of local edict. However, the second you're out of the East, anybody can just come in and undo all the work that you did. And this is a problem. It's a large problem in the continuity of your lodge, and especially with, if you look at any company, there has to be continuity between the CEOs of your company. You have a vision. So how do you remain true to your vision? So creating a mission statement, a vision statement, whatever the case might be, but it might just be a good idea to do that. And then once you do that, you figure out how you meet that mission statement, and then you propose bylaw changes so that you have to stick to those things. So the upcoming masters, the upcoming line officers also have to adhere to the set of and standards that you've put forth, keeping these changes, whatever they might be. I don't know what's good for your lodge, but you can keep those changes permanent until they decide to do something different also. And number five, Darren says, be adaptable and learn from your experiences. It sounds like common sense, but actually this is not so common. And we don't like to learn from our experiences, really, in terms of our administration of the craft. If we learned from our experiences, we would look at the data, we would see what hasn't worked in the past, and we would change the way we work moving forward. For instance, that lodge who puts on the spaghetti dinner every year that basically doesn't raise anything, and everybody is out money having put on the event year after year after year until finally they still do this spaghetti dinner, but nobody buys tickets. This in business is what we call zero-based fill in the blank. If you don't have data that shows that this was good and productive, get rid of it. So we need to learn from our experiences. If we see past experiences that were great for the lodge, then we need to look at those things and say, how do we make that even better? Don't be static. Make it better. So I hope you all enjoyed this great piece from Darren Lehners. That's it for this week. I hope you all enjoyed. I want to thank the producers, fellows, and contributors of the podcast. If you want to learn more about that, visit our website, wcypodcast.com. Next week, on Friday, the 23rd of October, I'm going to be doing a presentation, the Masonic Pub Crawl presentation presented by King Hiram Lodge. They're going to have me do a Zoom call, so excited to be there. I'll be presenting live from Kansas, that's right, and my good friend and brother, Alex Powers of the Historical Light podcast. I will be staying with him. Our families are getting together, so we're taking a little road trip down to Kansas to drop in on Alex and Yvette. They are just absolutely amazing people, and their kids are awesome, and so we'll have a good time together. But I will be in Kansas, so I hope to see you online via the Zoom platform. All the information on that meeting is up on the website, WCY Podcast. If you click on presentation schedule, you'll see all the details there. And Halloween is right around the corner, you guys. I'm really excited. Halloween is probably my favorite holiday, then followed by Christmas. So the dark and the light. as it is. So really fun times. I hope you guys all have a safe Halloween, however you choose to celebrate it in these weird pandemic times. And I wish you all peace and prosperity and less stress in the current situation and the things that are going on in the political spectrum. I know that people say they're not affected and they just don't want to think about it. But, you know, deep down, this is affecting a lot of us on a lot of different levels. And wherever you are on the political spectrum, I just want to say that I wish you, you know, some internal cognitive peace. And whoever your haters are, whoever really gets under your skin with whatever they're posting, just take a deep breath. We're all going to get through this together. We're going to lean on our brothers. We're going to whisper wise counsel in our brothers' ears. We're going to be there for each other and hold each other up. Be our brother's keeper, if you will. Let's stay civil out there. And thank you so much for listening to this podcast. And we'll talk to you all next week. Until then, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.
You've been listening to Whence Came You, a Masonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry with your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Be sure to join us for our next edition.